Welcome to another installment of BON Live. This is Peter Bean of BurntOrangeNation.com, coming to you for the second time this year via podcast. Came again at the beginning of the year before the Florida Atlantic opener, and now we do it again for the Big 12 opener. Texas headed to Boulder to play Colorado, and we are headed to talk to John and Bob of the Ralphie Report, RalphieReport.com. These guys are up in Denver, heading to Boulder this weekend, write an excellent Colorado blog, and about to give us the full scoop on Colorado 2008 football. John and Bob, how are y'all doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Glad to be on, Peter.
Great. Now, so we got a bunch of Texas fans, some of my friends and readers from Burnt Orange Nation, heading to the game. Talk to us. Tell us a little bit about what a visiting fan needs to do game day, or on their weekend stay in Boulder.
Well, if you guys are definitely staying for the weekend, definitely going up to the Flatirons and the mountains is a must for anybody from Texas. Also, Pearl Street Mall in downtown Boulder will give you anything you need to do in terms of restaurants, bars. I'd recommend the Rio on Walnut Street, along with the Foundry and the Walrus. The Rio serves potent margaritas to get you guys ready for the game. And game day, the Millennium Hotel will be full of Texas fans. A lot of alumni will stay there, so I think that's where you should go find fellow Texas fans at the tailgate scene. And then head on into the game. We're excited. It's a 5 o'clock start, and I'm sure all the CU students are going to be fully taking part in the party scene, and we can't wait for the game.
Yeah, now you guys are bringing, you guys got about 13 of you heading to Boulder, right? What talk to me about your pregame traditions here.
This is actually our pig roast weekend. We deem the Texas game we do pig roast once a year, and we pick Texas as the game to do that. We have a bunch of friends from a few Longhorn fans as well coming in, so We'll do a pig roast starting at 11, and then just regular burgers and brats the rest of the day, and obviously have a keg or two out there as well. So definitely a 30-man tailgate party right across the street from Folsom, so we're excited.
Awesome. I had planned all summer to go to this game, and then life got in the way. I'm very disappointed. But some of my friends are going, and it's going to be a good time. But let's talk a little football, because at the end of the day, that's what we care about. You guys coming off a tough road loss to Florida State. Giving up quite a few points to not a very good offense. Break it down briefly, what happened in Jacksonville?
Well, frankly, we just didn't make plays. I think the Bucs had the right plays in mind, and they had the right system going. Cody Hawkins missed two touchdown passes, and you can't turn the ball over against a good defense inside your own territory, and the Bucs did that early, and they gave up a kick return for a touchdown, which was never good. So I think if we limit the mental mistakes, I think we can hang around with Texas for a little while. But there's no chance if we keep turning the ball over in the red zone and making stupid plays out there.
Well, that's a good segue into one question I wanted to ask. And Cody Hawkins, you know, you try not to be too hard on freshmen, but you definitely want to see development the next year. What is it? All right, two part question. First, are you seeing a different or improved Cody Hawkins so far this year, number one? And number two, I don't have a real good feel for what his ceiling is. I'm a little skeptical, but I don't know that I should be. So give us the scouting report.
Well, to answer your first question, that's been the biggest criticism of Cody right now, is we saw glimpses of a pretty strong quarterback his freshman year, and now we're kind of seeing the continuation of inconsistency, turning the ball over, making bad reads, and not going through his progression. I think he does have a ceiling, and I think you're seeing Colt McCoy and really bust out of that supposed ceiling that he may have had. I don't think Cody gives you the physical attributes that Colt can give you or Sam Bradford can give you at Oklahoma. He's not going to be the strongest throwing quarterback. He's not going to be the fastest quarterback. He's not the tallest quarterback. I think he's a competitor, though, and I think he needs to gain back some of that confidence, and I look for the bus this weekend to try to get a lot of quick passes going, try to establish the running game on Texas to get that confidence up, because he is a competitor, and he can make the plays, but right now he's he's not making the play, and that's where we need the coaching staff and the scheme of Colorado to really emphasize his strong points, and that's getting the ball out quick and getting the ball in the playmaker's hands.
Well, of all the things he is not, one thing that he is his father's quarterback. So part of this, of course, rides on the elder Hawkins. First, what's your take on the transition? You know, obviously it takes a little time, but are you kind of seeing what you expected to see at this point, or are things still kind of moving into place, number one? And number two, share with me your favorite Dan Hawkins story so far.
Well, we love Coach Hawkins here. I think we love him because of the recruiting and the excitement he brings to Colorado. We're kind of going through a major transition where we're learning how to win. We have a lot of youth on this team, and definitely the freshmen and sophomores are playing an integral role in trying to make this team great. And coming off the Gary Barnett years, we're still learning how to win. We're still learning how to make big plays, and we're still learning how to compete in the Big 12. So I think we like Hawkins' attitude and his spirit and his excitement that he brings to the program, and a few more good recruiting classes. I think you're going to see a top-notch team. But right now, still we're kind of going through the growing pains, like last week where we're very inconsistent. We're relying on a lot of young guys, and right now you look at our offensive line and we're extremely young, and I mean that's a major problem. In terms of our favorite story of Dan Hawkins, I think my favorite story is the spring game. His first year here was we had about 5,000 fans in the crowd, and I mean, he was riled up, got on the microphone about 20 times during the game and got the fans going. I think he brings that presence of, hey, we're in a Big 12 country, but we can be a small community here and we can get people going and we can speak to you on a one-on-one level and not a big Big 12 conference team that's too good for everybody else. So I think he's bringing a good community to the game right now.
Hey, this ain't intramurals, brother. This is Big 12 football.
I would say if I had $1,000 for every one of those, every quote of the intramurals, brother, we would, me and John would both be retiring and probably owning a pro football team right now. So.
Yeah, it's too bad we can't own college football teams because that'd be a lot more fun. All right, you hit two more of my segues in there, I want to get to the injuries, but before we do, you mentioned the youth movement, and one place we're seeing that is at tailback. Now, I think everybody expected there to be a freshman tailback leading Colorado's offense, but it's not the one that everybody – it's not Darryl Scott. It's Ronaldo Stewart. Talk to us about that little guy.
He's a Darren Sproles in the truest sense of the form. I think when he was recruited, you just watched some of his highlight films from Ohio, and – you immediately got excited about the guy. You knew he'd be a change of pace guy. You thought he'd be back in punt returning. No idea that he would be the starting running back right now, and basically a great force that's tougher than we thought he'd be, quicker than we thought he'd be, and he packed a big punch for a little guy. And so, I mean, we're definitely excited to have him step in when Darryl Scott.
Can he hold up, do you think?
Oh, I think he'll
hold up for the full season?
Yeah, when you see him on TV, you're going to see he might be a 5'7", but he's about 190 pounds, and he's got biceps and calves that are that of a 6'2" linebacker. So I think you're going to see he's a very powerful kid at a small size.
Yeah, it's like the old Jacquizz Rodgers we all just watched.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the injuries. Half of your team is injured, including a couple of your vaunted freshman recruits. What is give us the laundry list? We might be here all night, but who is out for sure this Saturday? And given all the injuries, are you giving your team a puncher's chance?
Well, I think the two guys that you really need to know that are out this weekend are Mac Tuatui Mariner, who's our starting freshman, true freshman guard, who was working himself into the starting lineup and starting the West Virginia game, and just a rated one of the top guards in the country coming out of high school last year, and he's a big loss. And then probably the biggest loss of the year so far is Ryan Miller, our top recruit 2 years ago and a true sophomore who started every game this year and a good portion of last year. And he's an NFL prospect. He's about 6'8", 310 pounds, and is a dominant force on the end. So I think those two guys in our line is something that's going to really hamper our running game, and hopefully we can protect Cody this weekend. And with those injuries, it's going to be hard. I think I think you're going to see a Texas team come out and really try to pressure Cody Hawkins and make him make plays and load the line of scrimmage and stop Rodney Stewart and Darrell Scott. And, yeah, we're scared about it. But I think every time you come into Folsom Field and you get the crowd going for a night game, and, you know, the big thing for the Buffs this weekend is to make Texas face a little adversity. And I don't think they've faced so much adversity this year. And, you know, maybe if you punch them in the mouth once or twice and, you know, make Colt McCoy do something out of the ordinary, maybe the Buffs have a chance. But, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle.
And what kind of scheme is Dan Hawkins running offensively? Is he running the same stuff he did at Boise State?
He's trying to progress there. He's not running the same kind of gimmicks. He's not running the gimmick plays that we saw at Boise State, like in the Oklahoma game, or even though that wasn't him, that's the same kind of style. But we are running the spread offense. We run the shotgun and we run the I formation. We do a lot of motion, and we try to create mismatches on the field with Josh Smith and Rodney Stewart by getting them in motion and putting them in the flanker spot and, you know, doing reverses like that. But I mean, you're gonna see a very, very vanilla spread offense, not like, you know, Missouri or Oklahoma can put out there on a Big 12 day.
Excellent. All right, well, give us, before we wrap this up here, give us your three most important factors for Colorado pulling off this win, and then give us a prediction.
Well, I think the three most important factors, the first one has to be protecting Cody. If you're looking for a kid to bounce back, you got to have protection up front, and that starts with a you know, makeshift offensive line. But I think getting him protection and letting him get in the groove of the game is one of the most important factors. I think, like I said before, you got to challenge Texas a little bit. I think you got to make them change their ways. And right now they're a well-oiled machine, and they're not getting stopped by anybody. And if you got to kind of shut them down first, get up on them a little bit, and then see what happens from there. And the third thing is keep the crowd in it. I mean, you got to play competitive the whole game. Maybe you can wear down Texas in the second half with the altitude, and just win this game on the energy. That being said, I predict this game probably around 31-23. I think Texas is going to come out with the win. I think the offense is firing on all cylinders. Colt McCoy is right now, I mean, you got to consider him as a Heisman candidate. He's totally dominating the offense, and the leading rusher, the leading passer, 80% completion percentage. I mean, you can't get more impressive than that. So unless the Bucs have a huge day on defense, I don't see them stopping Colt McCoy enough to win the game.
Well, I hope you are right, sir. RalphieReport.com joining us to talk a little bit of Texas-Colorado playing Saturday night in Boulder. Thank you, sir, and enjoy your college football weekend.
Thanks, Peter, and I hope it's a great game, and I hope I'm wrong.
This has been another edition of BON Live. Hook 'em horns, let's win it in Boulder.